Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 10th China Fahui on Minghui.org, entitled "Validate the Fa and Clarify the Facts with Rock-Solid Determination," by Ru Yan, a DAFA disciple in Liaoning Province, China.
China Fahui: Validate the Fa and Clarify the Facts with Rock-Solid Determination, by Ru Yan, a DAFA disciple in Liaoning Province, China. Greetings, revered master. Greetings, fellow practitioner. I am a 55-year-old DAFA disciple, and I began my cultivation in 1997. Not long into my DAFA practice, I got bitten by my younger sister's dog. She urged me to get a rabies shot, but I refused. Her dog broke loose from his leash and suddenly dropped dead that night. My sister was scared to death, since a 17-year-old girl in our village had recently died after being bitten by a rabid dog. However, when she and her husband rushed to check on me in the middle of the night, they were relieved to see I was totally fine. My brother-in-law said emotionally, "DAFA is truly good. DAFA is truly miraculous." My story soon spread to the whole village. As a matter of fact, I've experienced many more miracles during all these years of cultivation. All my illnesses went away without a trace, and I got to savor what it felt like being illness-free. Having benefited so much firsthand, I've never wavered in my faith in Master and DAFA. Below, I report to Master how I have used every opportunity possible to validate the Fa and clarify the facts. Freezing the police with righteous thoughts twice. I learned of the onset of the persecution while visiting a fellow practitioner one afternoon in July 1999. She turned on the TV, and I couldn't believe all the fabrications being broadcast nonstop. A few practitioners and I immediately decided to go to Beijing to validate the Fa. We talked to everyone we met in Beijing about the groundless persecution. One night, while explaining the facts to a guard on the Tiananmen Square, he reported us, and we were arrested. When I refused to give my fingerprints, a police officer yanked my hair and knocked my head against a marble column in the police station. Strangely, I heard a loud bang, but my head didn't hurt at all. I knew Master was protecting me. We were sent back to our local detention center the next day. The local police later transferred us to another facility and didn't release us until we all went on a hunger strike to protest. Whenever I thought about how Master was still being defamed, I couldn't hold back my tears. I decided to go to Beijing again. On January 19, 2004, just a few days before the Chinese New Year, I arrived in Beijing alone. It was still dark, and I thought about checking into a hotel first. Then I realized the purpose of my trip wasn't to seek comfort. So I went straight to Tiananmen Square. The flag-raising ceremony had just wrapped up, and there was still a big crowd. I picked a good spot to tie my banner to two trees and began to shout from the bottom of my heart, "Falun DAFA is good! Restore my master's reputation! Restore DAFA's reputation! DAFA disciples are innocent!" The square got so quiet, you could have heard a pin drop. When I turned around to gather my belongings, I saw a plainclothes officer on a bike yanking down my banner. I asked Master in my heart to please keep him away from me. I said, "Freeze!" And the officer indeed froze, with his hands on his bike handles and his feet on the pedals. I walked away safely, but soon was met with a police vehicle filled with officers. I said in my heart, "Don't you guys move a bit. Freeze." They indeed stayed in the vehicle without doing anything. With Master's protection, I returned home safely. Clarifying the facts to inmates and guards while in custody. As a primary target, I was the very first local practitioner sentenced to prison. The local police sent me to Liaoning Province Women's Prison to serve a 3.5-year term. On my first day in prison, when the head of the inmates in my cell handed me a copy of the prison rules to study, I immediately threw it down. She gave me 2 slaps on the face and reported me to the team lead. I was sent to solitary confinement, but I just kept practicing the exercises and reciting the Fa. To protest the persecution, I went on hunger strikes many times. Despite the pressure and torture, I never wavered in my faith. I wrote many letters to the prison administration, sharing with them my positive experiences with DAFA and advising them to stop persecuting practitioners. I also seized every possible opportunity to clarify the facts to inmates and ask them to remember Falun Dafa is good, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good. Little by little, they changed their attitude towards Dafa. The head of the inmates saw me emitting beams of golden light during her sleep and was shocked to the core. She became totally convinced of Dafa's power and began to protect practitioners whenever possible. An inmate once beat another practitioner for doing the exercises at night. The head of the inmates warned her to never beat practitioners again. Because of her efforts, no one in her team was ever beaten again. She was, in turn, blessed with an early release. One day I ran into a team lead and she admitted to me, "When I saw you practicing the exercises the other day, I wanted to shock you with my electric baton, but the prison director stopped me." I smiled and said in my heart, "It was my master that kept you from harming me." Before my release, she said, "You're still so stubborn. How come you got released so early?" Again, I said in my heart, "What you say doesn't count. My master decides everything." With master's protection, I walked out of the prison before my term expired. In February 2004, I was arrested again for hanging truth clarification banners and sentenced to 3 years of forced labor in Masanjia forced labor camp. As soon as I got to the labor camp, a male team leader threatened me. "No matter how determined you were in prison, we'll for sure teach you a lesson here." A female team leader came over to take me to my cell. When we approached the staircase, she suddenly yelled, "I am a ghost." I knew she intended to intimidate me, but I smiled instead. "I don't care who you are, but I treat you as a human being to be saved." I then clarified the facts to her. In the labor camp, I again refused to follow their demands. One day, the camp director summoned me for a talk. Before she had a chance to open her mouth, I said, "Why are guards called guards?" "Because you're supposed to safeguard people's interests, right the wrong, and promote justice. You're supported by taxpayers' money, but you have no reservations about harming innocent people." She was stunned and said, "Whatever. I don't want to talk to you anymore. It's hard to argue with you." From then on, she never picked on me. On April 1, 2005, the labor camp conducted a mass forced feeding of practitioners who refused to give up their belief in Dafa. In order to stop the barbaric treatment, I shouted, "Falun Dafa is good. Dafa disciples are innocent." The team lead yanked my hair and said, "We're force feeding her. It's none of your business." I replied, "My master told us, quote, 'The next person's things are your things, and your things are his things,'" unquote. Teaching the Fa at the Washington, D.C. Fa Conference. Other practitioners also began to shout, "Falun Dafa is good," and the team leader was infuriated. "You're the ringleader. I'll teach you a lesson right now." They dragged me out for a session of torture and didn't return me to my cell until midnight. All detained practitioners went on a group hunger strike. One practitioner was released after being on hunger strike for 1 year. I also broke out 1 year later, thanks to Master's strengthening. Rain or shine, I go out to spread Dafa's blessings. Rain or shine, I've never stopped clarifying the facts and spreading blessings all these years. I use a host of different methods to reach out to different audiences. My oldest sister and I have been visiting fairs in neighboring villages for years. We usually prepare truth clarification packets to pass around to vendors and fairgoers. Many people know us well. Whenever they see us, they ask for new Dafa materials. Before each Chinese New Year, we also go door to door to deliver calendars and couplets with Falun Gong messages. Seeing the joy on people's faces, I am always moved and feel even more urgency to save sentient beings. After the first Shenyun World Tour in 2006, we also began to distribute Shenyun DVDs. Since I had to work during the day, I usually went out after sending forth righteous thoughts in the morning and returned home to go to work. Over the weekends, my sister and I went to fairs to distribute Shenyun DVDs. During the process, I got rid of a lot of attachments and improved my Shenqing. At the beginning, I tried my best to avoid crowds and preferred places with very few people. Later, I realized it was not right for me to pick favorites to save, and I had to do my best to save as many people as possible. Master has paved the way for us, and we just need to do it. My righteous thoughts became stronger, and I no longer had any fear. I began to go to crowded places to pass out Shenyun DVDs. One morning, I saw about 24 drivers busy loading goods into a big truck in front of a storefront. I said, "I wish all of you good fortune. I am here to deliver even more blessings to you." They all were glad to accept my truth clarification materials. Since they were all drivers and owned their own cars, I also gave each one a small pendant to hang in their cars. I didn't forget about the many helpers around and helped them quit the party as well. When I asked who was the boss, they all pointed to the same man. I approached him, saying, "So you're the boss. I wish you a successful business. Here is a pendant you can hang in your car." He was very happy and took it right away. The next day, I went to the same store to deliver Shenyun DVDs, and they shouted, "Falun Dafa is good," as soon as they saw me. I was extremely happy and proud. For a period of time, I didn't want to talk to taxi drivers. Somehow, I felt they were unreliable. After I rectified myself, I went to where taxi drivers congregated to deliver informational materials. To my surprise, they were all eager to take my brochures. Of course, it was not always smooth sailing, but thanks to Master, all the interferences I met were disintegrated. Once, my sister and I went to a remote village fair to distribute materials, and the first person my sister talked to was a plainclothes officer. Fortunately, he was all smiles and didn't say anything when my sister told him to remember Falun Dafa is good. But one person who didn't know the facts yet snatched the materials away from the last person I spoke with and yelled at me, "How dare you do something against the party?" With strong righteous thoughts, my sister and I ignored him and rode our bikes away safely. Another time, my sister and I were talking to a group of people about Falun Gong when two police officers came to snatch my sister's backpack. Since there were not many flyers left, we just talked to the officers. One of them pointed at my sister and said, "Look at you. I saw you handing out brochures downtown, and now you come here to do the same thing. Don't you ever come back again." The officers didn't do anything to us, and we returned home safely, thanks to Master's protection.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.